Canto 14. Who's this that makes the circuit of our hill before death comes to him to grant his flight, who shuts his eyes and opens them at will? I don't know, though I do know to this height he doesn't come alone. But you ask first, since you are nearest. Make your greeting kind that he may speak. In that way they rehearsed. Two spirits propped together of a mind to talk with us. Embodied soul, one said, who heads for heaven, tap your sympathy. Tell us your name and provenance. We're led to marvel not just at the novelty of your arrival here, but at the grace you're given. I. Through central Tuscany a stream winds, whose beginnings we can trace to Falterona, for 100 miles and more, and on its banks this shape was born. My name? A man must make a name who styles himself by name, and blowing my own horn would make no sense as yet. And then the shade who'd spoken first said, If I have the wit to catch your meaning, by those words you made allusion to the Arno. Think of it, the other chipped in. Why did he conceal the river's name? Such secrecies are fit for those to whom a horror is too real. The shade who'd been addressed said, I don't know, but it is fitting such a valley's name should perish, since for all its rancid flow from far up in those mountains with the fame of having given birth to a large part even of Sicily, a source that teems with many waters, with a racing start of far more than its share of brooks and streams, from that source all the way downhill to where it gives back to the sea all that the sky draws from it, so that rivers may be there. For all the way that river meets the eye, virtue is held an enemy by all, a snake to flee from. This could be because of mischief in the ground, or you might call that gift a custom, passed on without pause through generations, so that those who dwell in that sad valley are now debased in nature. It might seem that they are well by Circe's pigs, pastured on their own waste. At first, through Casentino, among hogs, who filthily eat acorns and prefer that diet to man's food. Through ponds and bogs it makes its feeble way, and then the spur of land that bends it brings it to the dogs that snarl out of Arezzo more than they have any right to for their actual power. From there, in scorn, it turns its snout away and goes on falling, swelling by the hour. The more it does, the more does the accursed and ill-starred ditch find dogs transmogrified to wolves at Florence, which should be the worst. But there is more, because from either side hemmed in, it falls through gorges down to meet the Pisan foxes, lithe and full of guile. They know no trap their cunning can't defeat. Nor will I, even for a little while, stop talking just because this mortal hears. He ought to bear in mind that what I say, I am inspired to lay forth for your ears by truth, and I see there will come a day when your grandson, who hunts the wolves and sends them frantic in their fear, will sell their meat still living, and for many their life ends in slaughter like old cattle. It's complete. A double robbery. They lose their lives, and he his honor. From the wretched wood he comes forth bloody, having cut with knives the trees that will not once more come to good inside 100 years. As when bad news, no matter where it comes from, pales the face of him who hears, I saw the other lose composure as these words sank into place. The speech of one, the other's look, made me eager to know their names. And so with much entreaty I put questions, whereat he who spoke to me before said, You, by such demands, would have me do for you what you do not for me. But seeing that God wills his grace to shine through you, this I will do without a grudge. A servant who fulfills your wish. Know, then, I am the Ghibelline Guido del Duca. So did envy flame in my blood that no sooner had I seen a happy man, but color overcame my features. I was livid. Here I reap the straw I sowed. Ah, humans, why this urge to set your hearts on what no one can keep except alone, so you can never merge in partnership. But my companion here is Rinier, great Guelph, pride of the stem of Calboli, for none since has come near inheriting his worth. But all of them, not just his line alone, all have been shorn in the Romagna, of their virtues, real or just for show, possessed or merely worn, for in that land the ground by now, you feel, is so full of envenomed shoots, the plough would never get them out. But Lizio, the good and courteous, where is he now? Pier Traversaro, and the kind Guido da Prata, and so many others, how is it that they are gone? The Romagnoles have turned to bastards. Tuscan, don't be stunned that I should weep for all those noble souls, the ladies and the knights, the endless fund of stories about deeds and sports to which love moved us and good manners. And now think how hearts are grown malicious and are rich in nothing but the depths to which they sink. Ah, Bertinoro, my sweet nest, where I spent years of safety high above lush fields, how is it you don't will yourself to die when all your finest families and their shields are fled from the corruption? Better far, Bagnacavallo, where they breed no more. Both Cogno and Castrocaro are worse off because the count's spawn as before. Again, so many others. But enough. Tuscan, go on your way, for now my choice is not to talk, but weep, so much the stuff of our discussion wrings my heart. His voice fell silent. Since we knew they heard us leave, that they were mute made us more confident our way was right and it would not deceive. And then again, as on alone we went, another voice, as if a lightning bolt should cleave the air, flew into us and said, the words of Cain acknowledging his fault, "Whoever finds me slays me," and it fled as thunder at the sudden cloudburst dies. And when our ears had just a moment's rest, another roared as if to split the skies, like one more thunderclap that closely pressed upon the first. "I am Aglaurus, turned to stone because my sister had the love of Mercury. I envied and I earned a place here." On our way to high above, I took a step aside, instead of straight ahead, so as to have my guide's support. The air by now was in a quiet state, all round, and he, that stretch, one would have thought, was hard enough to hold a man in bounds. But not you. No, you took the bait. The hook of your old enemy, his sights and sounds, got into you. He reads you like a book. And then no curb applies or prize appeals. The heavens call you, whirl about you, show their endless beauty. You and the mind reels at all the petty stuff you crave to know. See only the sad business of the earth. He smites you. He who knows what that is worth.